My lovely and adorable wife is here. And I don't know what happened, but somehow, some way, Ron Dugan has convinced her to be in service next week and help with music. Boy, you guys are in for a treat. Tam, stand up and let's just recognize you and say hello. About 10 days ago, that sweet gal and I celebrated 41 years of marriage. Congratulate me, send her a sympathy card. It's great to be with you. Thank you for your support. We love this church. We love Beth. We love your love of us. And we have been great friends. Now, I had to go back in my Wayback Machine. We have been friends, good friends, since 1991. That's a pretty good relationship, isn't it? We've cried together. We've faced struggles together. We've been blessed together, and we've seen victories together. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support of this preacher and his wife and Bethel Youth Camp. I want to thank you for all that you've done to help us through the decades. And I just praise the Lord for this church. I need you to be in prayer for us at Bethel Youth Camp. We're going through a struggle time. COVID. Did COVID mess up your life? Yeah. Well, it messed up the camp too. It really did. After much prayer and serious consideration, we felt that the best thing that we could do is close the camp for a while. And the camp has been closed through the summer. That's not good. And here's why. Because 50% of our income is made in the summer. 50% in a 10-week slot, and that's gone. So we've battened the hatches, so to speak, at the camp. Everything is shut off. We're doing everything we can to save money. Our bills aren't as high as they normally are, but we don't have money coming in either. So we need your support. We need your prayer support. We need your financial support. We need your volunteer support. If you ever want to do something and volunteer at the camp, and many of you do, we love having volunteers at the camp. We got great stories about our volunteers, great stories. So keep us in mind. Pray for us as we go through this struggle time. It's a difficult time for not just us, but for the whole nation, all right? And we're all paying a price for the struggles that we're walking through. This, I'll tell you, I believe God is greater than any COVID. I believe he can handle it. I believe he knew about it before it came. I believe he is stronger than any flu, any disease. I believe he can handle things, and through him we get victory, amen? So it's great to be here. I am excited to preach the Word of God today. I'm excited. I want to preach to you today on this thought. Let's take a walk. I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Just turn to chapter 4 there, and we'll look at a text. I'm going to use this text as a launching off verse. Hey, I want to ask you a question. You like to take a walk? Okay, all right. Some of you are saying yes. I like to walk. I do. I don't get to take one that often, but I like to take a walk. I remember a fun walk that I had with my dog, Missy. I think it was Missy. Missy was a Boston Bull. And she was the type of dog that she is about 10, 12 pounds, full of strength and force. And okay, this little bitty dog, you take and put her on a leash, and she is always excited. But the walk was like this. You know what I mean? You ever been there? My daughter brought up her two dogs for us to watch, and we had to take them on a walk. And it's like this, and they're bigger dogs. It's terrible. All right? Well, I decided one day to get Missy's goat. I decided, oh, girl, we're going to win this one. And I started out from my house, and I walked her down the train track to Posen, 10 miles. Do you know that around mile 7, she wasn't pulling me anymore? It took 7 miles, but she wasn't pulling anymore. And it felt so good to take, and she just walked alongside me. I said, it took me 7 miles to get her to calm down. Hey, we walk for fun. We walk for work. We walk to kind of calm ourselves down, don't we? Sometimes when we walk, we can sort things out. We walk our pets. I don't recommend walking fish. Fish don't walk. All right. I want to speak on our walk today. All right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 is our key text. Now, church, keep your Bibles open. We're going to be taking a walk through several scriptures today. I promise they won't be hard to find. They should come pretty easy. But we're going to be walking through a few scriptures today. Hey, if we're going to be preaching on walking, we can walk through a few verses. Amen? All right. You know what I really enjoy? I enjoy hearing pages turn in the Bible when I say flip here and I hear it. Now, I realize that we use our screens now. I intentionally did not do that because I want to hear pages flip today. So when I ask you to turn to a verse, I promise they won't be too many, but I just wanted to hear pages flip. Why? I just like it. I just like it. So that's me. All right. Our key text today is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Paul is writing here, and he starts his text off with a strong statement. He's beseeching us. It's a stronger word than, it's a strong encouragement, not quite like begging, but it's a strong encouragement. He says, look, guys, I am imploring you. I am challenging you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you now, we just want to say we love you. As we come before you now, we just want to say we praise you for being our God. Father, the task you've given to me to share with these people is large. I can't do it without you, Father. I can't do it. I implore you, Father. I plead with you by the mercy of your Son, by the grace of God, that you give me the strength to preach your word today. And I pray that you'll open the hearts of the people that are here today to hear it. Use this sermon to accomplish your purposes. I pray that after we're done, you say that we glorified your Son. I pray that this service glorifies Jesus Christ. Use us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does the word walk speak of in this text? Well, here's a few hints. It has nothing to do with shoes or socks. It has nothing to do with toes or ankles. Has nothing to do with plantar fasciitis or ingrown toenails. One time I was on Mackinac Island, and we're going to be there for a few days, and I said, sweetie, let's walk around Mackinac Island. You know the bike route, that nice bike route that everybody rides? I said, let's just take a walk. I walked it in the wrong shoes. And about the time we were getting back, I noticed my shoes were getting squishy. And that night I took off my shoes and there was a lot of blood on my socks. I had the wrong shoes. I didn't walk a lot after that for a few days, but I was all right. I was all right. I thought I had the right shoes, but they were wrong. What does the word walk mean in this text? Well, we want to just give it a simple definition, a simple definition. We don't want to be over theological, make it a long theological statement, but I want you to think of the word walk as your lifestyle. Think of the word walk here in this text as your lifestyle. So Paul is saying with strong emphasis, I beseech you that your lifestyle is worthy of the calling or the job wherewith ye have been called. Do you know what? God needs Christians to act like Christians. You hear me? God needs Christians to act like Christians. All right? The word walk reminds us that believers are pilgrims on a journey to another country. This is the plea now of this text, that our lifestyle reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. As we walk through this life, church, we must be sure that our lifestyle honors God. Amen? Oh, gee. Really? I'm going to try that once again, and I'm going to say it again just to make sure you get it, right? As we go through this life as believers, it is an imperative that our lifestyle matches up with our claim of faith, our Christianity. I've been a preacher for a long time, and people have come into my office, and they talk to me about a problem they're having. They're talking to me about an issue that they have. And in several cases, here's where the problem usually begins. There's some place they should have never gone, doing something they shouldn't have never been doing, and it messes up for them. Am I right? All right? As believers, our lifestyle is meant to glorify Jesus Christ. Follow with me now. Christ is meant to be our lifestyle. Romans chapter 13, verse 14, you don't have to turn. Talks about it only in a different way. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Notice with me, we walk in Christ, but we also put on Christ. There's an inside and an outside mentioned there. Our life on the inside is supposed to be all about the Lord, and our lifestyle on the outside is meant to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. If you were in court for being a Christian, could you be found guilty? Ooh. Would you be found guilty of being a Christian if you were in court? Focus with me on several things in the Bible that tell us about the worthy walk. Worthy walk, the lifestyle that is worthy of our claim to faith. Notice with me, first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Go ahead and turn. This is an easy one. 2 Corinthians, where is it? Right next to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, thank you. I'm hearing pages turn, and I just love that. Yeah. I'm not against technology, but I just like to hear verses turn every so often. So follow with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look with me now at verse number 7. It's a simple verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Notice with me, the first point I want to make here is if you're going to walk with God, you've got to be a person of faith. You've got to be a person of faith. You cannot walk with God without faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let me ask you a question here real quick. Would you? Let me read a verse first. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, I'll read it for you. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Ooh. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is everything to the believer, amen? It's everything to us. It is everything to us. It is everything to God, too. Let me give you, once again, just a very easy layman's definition of faith. Faith is trusting God to do what He says He'll do. Aren't you glad? Maybe you're here today and you can remember the first time you had faith in God. Maybe you can remember that time where you went before the Lord and you said, "You know, Lord, I'm a sinner. I am a mess. I know that without You, I'm going to hell. I know that I need Jesus Christ in my heart and my life. I know that He came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and was resurrected the third day as the Son of God. I know all of this. And now, Father, I want to accept that payment for sin by faith." Whew. You know, those of us who have done that, that was a life-changing moment. Amen. Now, we don't say it all in the same way. But we have this faith moment where we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a change it brings to us. Amen? Folks, we cannot walk worthily without being people of faith. Hey, that little bit of faith, that saving faith, changed us forever. We could talk all day about it. I was just reveling in a great verse the other day. I'm going to share it with you, right? And I was just having a shouting time. I was in my office, and I was just raising my hands, and I was just worshiping. Listen to this great verse. "I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the mind or in hearts of men the things that God has laid up for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose." Oh, why? Faith. It all started with faith. That is the beginning point to our faith. Do you realize after that, we are meant to live by faith? You know what the Bible says? The just shall live by faith. Amen? We have a starting point for our faith, but it goes on after that. The walk, the lifestyle that we adapt must first of all be a walk where we trust God. That's not that hard to understand, is it? We must start off with trusting God every day. We trust Him for our salvation, but then, you know, sometimes we decide we want to do things our way and we leave faith out of it. Oh, don't make that mistake. I find quite often when I decide that I want to do certain things that I think I should do and I leave God out of it, I've made a brutal mistake. I know you've never made a mistake yet. Follow with me. The worthy walk starts with faith. Then notice with me in Romans chapter 6. You can turn to this one. The worthy walk is illustrated in baptism. The worthy walk is illustrated in baptism. I like to baptize. I think it's a wonderful gift that God has given us. It doesn't save us. It's just an open commitment to God. If you're saved today and you haven't been baptized, why? I like Nike baptism. Just do it. All right? I have had young men come to camp, get saved. Pastor Smith, I want to get baptized. I say, okay, we got a pool right over here. Let's go. We have a special spot cut out on the pond as a baptistry. Not too long ago, my two sweet granddaughters came to me. They had both accepted Christ, and they said to me, Papa, we want you to baptize us. I said, let's go. We went to the pond, not to the pond, but to the pool. It was too cold for the pond that day. We had it heated up, and I took them and my I took them both in the water, and I baptized them right there. It was a great day. I've had men, young men, come to camp and accept Christ and say, I'm ready to be baptized right now. And so it's an important part of what we do. Now look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. This is a description of baptism. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. Look at that phrase there, walk in newness of life. When I baptize somebody, I usually take them like this. I had a good time one time. Just let me tell you this one. Got to lead a family to Christ. Dad, mom, child. Whoo! They wanted to be baptized. I took them all out on Lake Huron. Dad, you're right here. Mom, you're right here. Dad, hold on to mom. Here's the child. Mom's holding on to the child. I was a lot stronger in those days. I raised my hand. I baptize thee, my brother and sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death. And I took all three. It was a chore. Boom, brought them back up. Raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism is an illustration of this thought of a new walk, a new lifestyle for the believer. That was a great day. That was a great day for this preacher. Let me tell you something. As believers, when we are baptized, we say, buried in the likeness of his death. That means the old lifestyle, that old person. He's dead. He's done. And just like Christ was resurrected, we are raised in newness of life, a new walk, a new lifestyle. That's what that's illustrated. By the way, I'll throw this out there just as a small doctrinal point. I don't sprinkle when I bury somebody. I don't throw a little dirt on them and call it good. We put them in the ground and we bury them. I believe that real baptism is by immersion, and I won't spend too long on that. All right? Follow with me. The worthy walk is a spirit-led walk. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. Oh, thank you for turning in your Bibles. I'm really enjoying that. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In case you need a little help there. All right. The worthy walk is a spirit-led walk. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, in a lot of places, now just stay right there for a bit, in a lot of churches, we're afraid to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit because it is confusing to people. They think we've got to take and do a lot of stuff that's not really there. And it would be interesting to do a series on what the work of the Holy Spirit really is in us. Let me give you this introduction to that thought. When we accept Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit, as much of him as we're ever going to get. He comes in, he fills us, and he is ours for the rest of our lives, even into eternity. Give me an amen, guys. That's a theological point that's wonderful. That's a theological point that's great. I can't explain the theology, but it's great. All right? Follow with me now. All right? However, the Holy Spirit does not control us if we're unwilling to be controlled. Holy Spirit lives in us, will be in us for the rest of our lives. But He does not control us unless we are willing to let Him control us. He's in there, but He's not always in control. You say, how do you know that? Well, pretty easy to see. Have you ever been, I like this illustration, we can step right out of control of the Holy Spirit in a second. We really can. Have you ever been going down the road and you've just been praying and what fellowshipping and just loving the Lord and you're just talking to God and He's talking to you and everything's great and then somebody cut you off and you almost bite your tongue? Yeah. It's easy to do, isn't it? Follow with me. To walk worthy of God. The worthy walk is a Spirit-filled walk. Now, I could write a book. I really could. I could do probably a series of 20 sermons on what's involved in being filled with the Spirit. I could talk about how He leads us and guides us and directs us. There's a whole list of things, but that's for another day. I do not have that time. So I want to give you three things, just very briefly, three things that will help you to be Spirit-led and that your lifestyle will be led by the Spirit of God. There's just three, and I'm going to give them to you very quickly here. All right? Follow with me. Spirit guidance is imperative to the worthy walk. You will not have a worthy walk without the Spirit of God controlling you. You hear me? You will not have a worthy walk without the Spirit of God controlling you. I could spend a lot of time explaining that, but we don't have time. So I'm going to give you three things. Just three, and they're going to be brief, all right? To be Spirit guided, we must understand that we no longer belong to ourselves, but that we are God's property. To be Spirit-guided, we must understand that we no longer belong to ourselves, but that we are God's property. Just a couple weeks ago, I had the privilege, I'm being very nice to call it a privilege, of moving my daughter and her husband from one house to another. Oh, you're laughing. I don't blame you. When we were done, I said, okay, you got to make me a promise. They said, what's that, Dad? I said, you cannot move again until I'm dead. Follow with me. They had this little house that was fine for them for a little while, but as things changed, they had opportunity to move out of that old house into a new house. And they took claim of this new house. They left the old and replaced it with the new. All right? The reason I am saying that is that we are no longer controlled by ourselves. Our will and our desires are no longer imperative to God. It's what God wants us to be that counts. Follow with me. We are meant to be God's property. You hear me? We are meant to be owned by God. You say, isn't that slavery? I say, yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. We are meant to be God's slave. You say, well, we don't like slavery. I said, I don't like seeing man and man slaves. I don't agree with that. But we are meant to be a slave to God to accomplish His purposes. Follow with me. To be spirit guided, we must acknowledge that we have a supreme duty to accomplish God's purposes in us. I'm going to say that again. We have a supreme duty to accomplish God's purposes in us. There was a prophet one day in the Old Testament that was given a command by God to go to this one place. He said, that's not for me. I don't want to go there. Have you ever had a child say, I don't want to do it? God said, fine. And He turned them into fish bait. 3 days later, he was ready to go. We do not, if we're walking the worthy walk, have the right to say no to the will of God. You hear me? We, if we are walking worthily, do not have the right to say no to God. Follow with me. The third point I want to make on this very quickly is to be spirit-guided, we must be willing to daily, even hourly, to say, God, use me in whatever way You want. We must be willing, even hourly and daily, to submit to ourselves to God, willing to follow His purposes. Did you ever hear the story about the guy that got married? And he said, I do. And wife came up to him and said, why don't you ever tell me you love me anymore? He said, well, I told you I love you when we married you, right? He said, yeah, but that's been a couple years. I said, well, I'll tell you if it changes. We must be willing to daily and hourly, if need be, submit ourselves to the will of God. Then turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Remember I said Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. So many sermons, so little time, Brother John. Look at this with me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Have a lifestyle of a Spirit-filled believer. And look at this part. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Who? What's that mean, Pastor Bud? The worthy walk will defeat sin in your life. The worthy walk will defeat sin in your life. Follow with me. The worthy walk here is evidenced in our attitude to sin. Young people are an interesting breed. Gotta raise them, can't kill them. I'm teasing, of course, but when a teenager hits this certain stage in life, maybe it's 14, maybe it's 15, it's 16, 17, all right, they start becoming a person that questions authority. They start questioning authority. I know none of you did that. Is that right? You were perfect children. You never questioned authority. Right? Follow with me. And they start holding on to the world and God if they know Christ at the same time. And I have to regularly warn teenagers. You can do that for a while, but eventually, if you keep holding on, sin will win. The person that is walking worthily looks at sin and thinks of it as God thinks of it. It's not something to be held onto. It's something we let go of. It's something we do our best to stay away from. And once again, I could say a lot here, but most teenagers get in trouble two different ways, right? First one is they start going to the wrong places. Adults can do that too. They go to the wrong place. Number two, they start hanging out with people they shouldn't hang out with. I have to preach on that a lot. Young people, when you go out and you pick your friends, give me a second. We got a few here today, okay? You be careful who you hang out with, all right? You be very careful. You don't hang out with a crowd that doesn't support your faith. Listen to me, don't date a person that's a non-Christian saying, oh, I'll win them. Chances are they'll win you. Ha. No amens? Come on, support me a little bit here, right? All right? They're in the back. I'm glad you're all in church. Serve God. In my teenage days, did I make mistakes? Oh, yeah. But it's never been a mistake to serve God. Amen? Tell them, why aren't you nudging these kids, saying, listen to him? Follow with me. When we walk worthily, we will find ourselves winning the battle over sin. Will we do it perfectly? Of course not. But we'll do a whole lot better. I'll take a whole lot better. Amen? Then turn with me now to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I'm going to ask you just to stay right there. This is a goodie. You say, Pastor Smith, it's about time you gave me a goodie here. Galatians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 10 through 11. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. We're going to camp out here. I want you to notice that the worthy walk can produce some great things in us. The worthy walk can produce some great things in us. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Stay there. The worthy walk pleases God in that text. When I get to the end of my time and I stand before my Lord, I want to hear, well done. Amen. I want to hear it. I want him to say, Bud Smith, good job. Good job. The worthy walk will be pleasing to God. Notice with me, it produces fruitfulness, being fruitful in every good work. Spiritual fruit will abound in us as we walk worthily. Then follow with me. The worthy walk gives us a greater knowledge of God. Now, why do we get a greater knowledge of God when we walk worthily? Well, think about it. We're going to have our Bibles open. We're going to be praying. We're going to be Spirit-led. We're going to be in the house of God. We learn in the house of God. We're going to be fellowshipping with other believers. They'll help us. There's going to be all kinds of good reasons why we're growing in knowledge of God. But probably the greatest will be that you will learn to recognize God's hand on your life. The worthy walk gives us greater strength with God. Look at this part. Strengthened with all might. All might. According to his glorious power. Listen to me. God will give you the power to accomplish anything he wants you to if you walk worthily of him. I'm going to say it again. The Spirit of God will give you all the strength you need to accomplish whatever it is he wants you to do. You ever feel weak? I gotta tell you, I felt awful weak this morning. God will give you the strength to do whatever you need to do, whatever that task is, whether it's beating Goliath or preaching a sermon or witnessing to somebody who's lost, whatever the case, whatever the need. If you're walking worthily, God will supply the power to accomplish his purposes. Follow with me. One more. The worthy walk adds to us patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. I didn't want to go too long on this point, so I just put those last three together. Patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Think of joyfulness as calm pleasure. Jesus, when he's dying on the cross, said, for the joy that was set before him. That's not fun. He endured the cross, despising the shame. But there was a joy there. Ooh, that would be a sermon. I could preach that. For the joy that was set before him. There is a calm peace, a calming peace, joy that comes to those who walk worthily of God. Got to keep going. I'm running out of time. Point number six. This is the last one. You've been so kind to hear me. If you start applauding saying this is the last one, I'm going to get angry. Ephesians chapter 5. That was intentional, Brother Ron. I wanted to keep it easy for us. I understand. I just keep reminding people, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Right. Follow with me now. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Paul writes here, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. My last point is this. The worthy walk will produce Christ-likeness in us. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. The worthy walk is going to be a walk that is filled with love. The word love here isn't just human love, it's godly love. Follow with me. When we have the worthy walk, we will love others as Christ loved others. Say it again. When we have the worthy walk, we will love others as Christ loved others. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men will be able to see your good works and glorify God. Your love, your Christ-like love for others will take and cause others to glorify Christ. Notice with me, like Christ in this text, the worthy walk that produces Christ-likeness is a sacrificial love. Look at that text. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Do you understand that phrase, sweet-smelling savor? Okay, that's going back to the Old Testament. And those sacrifices that we saw offered there in Exodus and Leviticus. And boy, if you want a really cool study, okay, study those sacrifices and understand what that was about. And then take and study the book of Hebrews, where we're taught Christ is a better sacrifice than the Old Testament sacrifices. And it's in depth, it's a challenge, it's kind of difficult, but it's a worthy study. Follow with me. And given himself for us an offering and sacrifice. Folks, if we're going to walk worthily, we're going to be willing to sacrifice for the things that honor God. Follow with me. Old Testament, they offered sacrifice. What? Maybe you can remember some of them. There was a cow, there was a lamb, there was a goat, there was a dove, and we could go on about this. And these different things were given in certain cases for different types of offerings. But in the New Testament, Christ was our sacrifice. And now we are challenged to be the sacrifice. Look at, don't turn. I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that, there's that word beseech again, beg, plead, implore, that ye present your bodies, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Christian life is about a sacrificial life. If you're going to walk worthily, you're going to sacrifice yourself for the cause of Jesus Christ. Say, what does that mean? It means you sacrifice your will for the will of God. The thing, everything about you belongs to God first. That is the heart of the worthy walk. Let's form a conclusion. How's your walk? How's your lifestyle? Is it something that pleases God? Is it something that takes and people can point to it and say, there's a believer? And whether they like you or dislike you, they know that you have faith in God. How's your lifestyle today? Do you have a lifestyle that honors Him and pleases Him? Or do you find yourself in trouble, going and doing things that don't represent our faith? Some people come up to me and say, Pastor Smith, is this right? Is that right? Is this right? They want me to determine. I say, if you're convicted of it, don't do it. Thank you. Give her a dollar. I spoke to a lady not too long ago who had a knee replacement. I've never had a knee replacement. I hope I don't need to. But she had a knee replacement. Maybe some of you in here have. So she has had this knee replacement and the surgery goes well and everything's looking okay. But after a while, she gets a gait. Now that is not a gait you open close. It means she's kind of getting this funny walk. She's getting a funny walk. Surgery went fine, but she's getting a funny walk and it's not getting better. In fact, it's getting worse. So here's what they do. They go back to the doctor. And the doctor looks at that surgery and they look at it and they said to her, you need physical therapy and you need to start doing this. So the lady who had the knee replacement now is walking funny, goes to the doctor, gets her physical therapy, and she takes and she starts this physical therapy, right? And she tells me that in no time, she's all better. She just needed a little PT. There wasn't a surgical issue. She just needed to go back to the doctor to get her walk straightened up. All right? Maybe your walk ain't so good. Maybe you did good for a while and now you've got this limp and your walk ain't what it should be. I don't know. I'm not judging. Let me tell you something. Why don't you go back to the doctor? I'm going to give you a verse. Mark 2:17, and when Jesus heard it, he saith unto him, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is our great physician, amen. He is our great physician. If that walk ain't quite what it used to be, go to the doctor, amen. I've got to finish this up. You've been so good to listen. Thank you. And it's been a privilege to preach here today. How is your walk? Now, understand this. This isn't salvation. Salvation begins when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Amen. And if you're here today and you're trying to please God with living a good life, you're going to fail. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior first. That's the beginning point. And after that, we walk with Him. Remember, the first step in a worthy walk is to have faith in God. Amen? All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And we're going to have just a moment of thought and reflection, and then we're going to finish this all up. Let's all stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Look inside. Look inside. No one's looking about. We're all just praying here and we're looking inside ourselves. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Smith, I don't know Christ is my Savior. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I don't know where I'd go. I want to pray for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking about. All right? If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Smith, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I need help. Just slip up your hand and let me pray for you. Is there anybody like that at all? Just anyone like that at all? Just slip it up, put it down. I don't care. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Okay? Anybody at all? Just slip your hand up. Make sure I can see it. Make sure I can see it. Okay, I don't see any hands at all going up. I'm going to judge by... Okay, one hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, dear lady. Listen to me now. The Bible teaches that Christ is the payment for your sin. If you will just simply accept Him as your Savior, understanding that He died for you. He died for you. As the Son of God, He came to the earth on a mission to die for your sins and the sins of the world. All right? All that is really needed is to earnestly repent, turn away from your sin, go to Him and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins. And if you do this with honesty, accepting that Jesus is the Son of God, you can go to heaven. You can settle the eternal question right here, right now. You can settle the eternal question. Don't let anything keep you from accepting Christ. Amen? Amen. Follow with me. Follow with me. We've got a room full of people. A room full of people that would love to see you accept Christ. If you have questions about this, you can come forward. We'll sing just one quick verse and you can come forward. Or if you want to meet with me or an adult after services, we can talk to you about how you can be saved. You don't have to go away from this service without knowing for sure. All right? Follow with me. How's your walk, Christian? How is your walk? You say, well, Pastor Smith, I'm doing okay, but there's a little gate to my walk. There's things that I've been slipping on. I know we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. I know that. I know that. But we can all be better. None of us are perfect, but we can all be better. Maybe it's time you commit to a better walk for Him. Maybe you need to look inside your heart and you say, Lord, I'm failing you here, I'm failing you here, I'm failing you here. Maybe there's just this one little problem. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe, or Ecclesiastes, that the little foxes spoil the vine. Your walk isn't measuring up. Maybe you're here today and you just need to confess that to the Lord. If you're in that way, why don't you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Slip up that hand so I can pray for you. Pastor Smith, pray for me. My walk isn't measuring up. Is there any like that at all? Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. Father, you've seen the hands that have gone up. It may be, Father, that whatever the case, whatever the need here, I don't know. They need to make things right. I pray, Father, that you will work in their heart to bring them to a closer walk. Give them grace. Give them grace, Father, to take and make the changes that you are placing in their heart. Give them the strength to walk a worthy walk. We yield this time to you. And we ask you to use us to accomplish your purposes here today. For it's in the name of Christ I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Now.